pandemonium reigns.
Spring ball is here. It's time for the Tennessee Volunteers 2024 Orange and White game. Comes Saturday. As long as the eclipse didn't get you and your eyes are still good, make sure you tune in to that one. The Nico Iamaliava era continues. As some of you thought wrong that it was just beginning. Oh, no. Ask Iowa fans. They know. There's still a lot to talk about, man. A lot to talk about here. Thank you guys for tuning in and hanging out with us as we talk on this Orange Cast. Just really about spring game. What we want to see, what we're excited about, what to expect. And I just want to begin this, as we should, by saying, don't put too much stock into anything that happens on Saturday, because in the end, it means absolutely nothing. The spring game isn't near what it used to be, and it's really just a family event, and you really just need to chill out, especially when Tyler Brady throws five picks.
Five for 30.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, man, as I started to think about this, I just couldn't help to think about, okay, Heupel's going in year four, and just how different this roster is than it was when he began. And obviously, I don't mean names. I just mean depth at all these different positions. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, there were jokes about, you know, program managers, about long snappers getting reps at linebacker, and how critical that position is. And thank God that, you know, we didn't have major injuries or anything like that in the 21-22 seasons, at the linebacker position, because it was real thin at that time. I mean, guys that are just now breaking in, like Caleb Perry, some of those guys were, you know, true freshmen. The Elder Herring, Elijah Herring, you know, he was, I think, a true freshman at that time. Yeah, just thank God for the health at that time. But, man, we're in a much better spot. Oh, I can't wait to just see whatever we do get. I know you and I were really excited last year making the trek up to Knoxville. Won't be doing it this year due to the fan limitations and, you know, general boredom of that event. Baking in the sun, baking in the April sun was hot. Yeah. But still very excited to see glean anything that we can out of Saturday.
Yeah, I think the best part of that trip was eating at Calhoun's after the fact. So,
amen, brother.
But obviously all the conversation, whether you're a diehard, whether you're a casual, whether you're an NFL guy, you probably should know the name Nico Iamaliava at this point. So when you just think about Nico, what is it that you're excited about regarding him? Is there anything that you want to see surrounding Nico?
Yeah. And, you know, thank God again. Very thankful, apparently, entering the spring game for our roster turnaround, the steps we've taken. We know that he won't take any hits. Those are obvious things. I do want to see him under pressure. How does he respond in the pocket under pressure? You know, I know that he can take off and run. I know that he's way too athletic for someone as tall as he is and as lanky as he is. He's got plenty of athleticism for that frame. How does he do, though, if big Elijah Simmons is causing trouble in the middle, or James Pierce is flying around the edge? I don't know how they're going to match up the teams or the guys. I don't know if we'll get any one-on-ones, if you know what I mean, first-teamers on first-teamers. Who knows? But how does he handle under pressure? Obviously, he won't be taking hits. I'm thankful for that. I don't need to see him take off because he's going to be sliding, or he's not, you know, the whistle's going to be blown. I don't need to see it. I need to know, how's he going to do under pressure in the event that this offensive line doesn't take the steps that we need them to take for this season? How's he going to handle that when the bullets are live?
Yeah, I think that's a fair request. We got to see a little bit of that with Iowa and how he handled that. A lot of that was just him taking off.
Yeah. And he did fine with it. You know, I'm not concerned about when he does take off. I just want to know what does he do in the pocket for the matters of this game.
Oh, for sure. You know, I think that's a good point, because a lot of it was just him taking off. I think managing the pocket is a really good request. And I think he surprised a lot of people in that Citrus Bowl with his legs. I mean, even me, I knew he was an athlete, but you know, he's very light on his feet. He runs very fluid. So we know what we get there. So I like the request of, let's see him manage the pocket under pressure. I think for me is, because it's a spring game and you don't know how to count wins and losses and whatnot, like what's good, what's bad, and whatnot. I'd really just like to see him time and time again put drives together.
Yeah.
A handful of completions, you know, when the pocket is there, when the pocket is not there. Just and for the most part, the thing that I'm about to say has a lot to do with Joe, and that's when it's a slant, can it be in stride?
Yes.
As opposed to behind the receiver and things of that nature. You know, Cam Coleman in the Auburn spring game getting a lot of hype, like, oh my gosh, this is the dude. Look, well, one of these long balls that he caught, the ball is severely underthrown, and he adjusts to it well, you know, making a play. I don't want to see that out of Nico. The expectation is too high. So I really prefer, let's see three or four drives where he picks apart a defense. Do you know what I'm saying? Where the completions are stacked. I don't care if they're 6, 8, 10, 12 yard. I don't care. I want to see him manage a drive, because I think, and this is where a lot of people, I was thinking about this as well, this is where a lot of people think that we're just, you know, air raid, let it rip. You know, a lot of our scores come because we run, hit this short, hit that short, boom, there it is on the option route or the switch route, whatever. You know, everybody's got visuals of Jalin Hyatt wide open. But that's not necessarily what we do. And I think if as we consider Nico's future, we're going to see those plays just because it's a Josh Heupel offense and we know that Nico has the ability. So, again, I just come back to, I want to see drives put together. I want to see consistency. And again, this is all fun at the end of the day. Obviously, I want everybody to walk away healthy. That's probably the number one thing.
Yeah.
But just, you know, stack drives on top of one another.
Yes, absolutely.
So, all right. So there's Nico. Now, is there any position group outside now of Nico or quarterback or maybe backup quarterback, you know, whatever, that you're going to have your eye on especially?
Yeah, a couple of things I'll be looking closely at. I'm fascinated to see. You know, we feel like we know 3 or 4/5 of this offensive line. I think going into the season, you know, we know Campbell. We think Hurd. Cooper is a mainstay. There's no doubt. Spraggins, as soon as he's back to health. I do think left guard is probably the main variable in this offense, a healthy offensive line. You know what I mean? Yeah. Is left guard is the main variable. Who steps up for that? Not really going to glean much Saturday, I don't imagine, just because of the lighter nature of it. You know, I'll be heavily looking in on who – do we have a running back with who's healthy, minus Peyton Lewis, minus Cam Seldon? Is Khalifa Keith, is Deshaun Bishop, any of those guys, are they option number two worthy or capable, or 1B even for that purpose, because – there's really not been a 1-2-3. It's been a 1A, 1A, 1B, 1C situation, if we're really honest. And it's worked really well. And then wide receiver rotations. I'll be trying to take away. I'll be doing some serious digging. Are there any patterns, or is it just randomly filling guys out? We know that so many receivers were out last spring. I'm sure we'll see a couple out, not even counting Brew, who's obviously got a major rehab. He's taking the process of going through. But are there any patterns? Do we see certain guys together and then, you know, side change, so to speak, hockey style, mass subs? What do we see there? Those would be the two big things that I've got my eyes on.
Yeah. I think for me, what captivates me the most is halfback two.
Yes, sir.
That is what the abilities of that guy, whether it be Deshaun Bishop. I've been excited about Khalifa Keith since he committed. The dude is a monster. He's got Saquon Barkley thighs. So I'm really excited that they're going to get that opportunity to shine with Cam Seldon being out. And what's exciting about this as well is since Heupel's been here, it's been Jabari Small and Jalin Wright. Mm-hmm. So very much looking forward to new faces in the backfield, even though our hearts are near and dear to Jalin Wright and Jabari as well.
Absolutely.
We know what we got in Dylan Sampson. You know, if he's out there, be looking for how he handles pass pro, if that's a part of his game that he has improved. Because if he is not, and we get to the fall, I would very much, as you pointed out, very much a 1A, 1B. I would argue a little bit, maybe going forward, that, you know, maybe despite the pass pro, might have said a week ago, I think this is Samson's backfield. But I think you make a good point. And, you know, the MO has been with Heupel thus far, 1A, 1B, 1C. But, man, a handful of names there that I'm really excited for HB2. Let's see who get those touches. Who's going to be the first one behind Samson to get a touch? What does that look like? How do they handle contact? Do they see the hole? All sorts of stuff. Because, again, as you pointed out, there's a lot of value in the HB2 spot in this offense.
Yeah. And just obviously your running back coach isn't the most important assistant coach or anything like that. Obviously, they play a huge role in recruiting, teaching the fundamentals of the position. I do think it's a bummer for Tennessee's, for Dylan Sampson's sake, that his position coach was one that got plucked to the NFL, and obviously we're breaking in Darrell Sims at the running back position coach job there. So I hope, and Cincinnati, we talked about it, they had fantastic numbers running the ball. They've done some really good work in the last few years, you know, especially in the Fickell area. In the Fickell area, I don't know how long Darrell's been there, but my goodness, I do hope we see a step, just to your point of pass pro. It's got to come up some, because it's been a major problem dating back to 2022. Hendon Hooker almost got killed in Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And isn't it encouraging to also think about, you know, there's one position, halfback, where I don't, when the portal opens up, I don't think we're really going to be doing anything right there. The only exception would be Hayden out of Ohio State. You know, do we take a look at him if he's interested? With the way injuries happen at this position in this conference, I think you absolutely do. You gauge his interest. But, man, super excited to let Khalifa Keith, Deshaun Bishop, and these other guys come across my screen. Hate that Peyton Lewis is not going to be dressed for this one.
Yeah.
What else? Okay, so you also mentioned offensive line. It sounds like Hurd has got that left tackle spot wrapped up, bow on it. Cooper, obviously, back. Spraggins, right tackle. John Campbell. Man, what we would have given in previous years under other eras, Butch Jones era, Pruitt era, Dooley era, to look and go, oh my gosh, we have four out of the five locked up.
Yeah, dude.
Now, we don't really know what's behind them at the 2D. There's a lot of uncertainty, but tell me another team outside of Georgia that's also not asking the same question.
Exactly. You're 100% spot on. And I mean, think about it. Even Alabama with Saban, they had offensive line troubles the last couple of years. Bryce Young running for his life. Milroe, who does some of the running willingly, but you know, they were breaking in Jaden Proctor. Looks like they're gonna get to continue to mold Jaden Proctor because of how fun these times are. But yeah, I mean, there are so many years where Tennessee could have, let's say we knew, hey, we're exiting a season, but we get three of these guys back and we land a prized transfer like a Lance Hurd, and he does nothing. Like, I'm talking about nothing in spring. Like, it may not even be a Band-Aid or a patch until you do grow a high school prospect that you recruited from that level, or you can get someone else in. I mean, we've landed guys like that before, and they've either made no buzz or, yeah, they've had the buzz, and then they just don't pan out. But Lance Hurd, it looks like he could be someone that does live up to that billing that he had coming out of high school. My God, does he have the body for it? He's a monster. Right.
Yes.
And it seems like, listening to his mentality, he's got it the way that I want it, where he's here to do a couple things: help Tennessee win games where he's at right now, get to the league, man. That's the priority that I want. Let's win some games. Let's do everything we can here. And then I'm going pro. You can't hold me back. Yeah. Can't stop me. I'm here to go pro and you know, to do that for my family and myself. So love that. He seems to be saying the right things and making plenty of noise, which is just a blessing. Because, you know, we saw how iffy the tackles were with Mincy at times, with Crawford at times, with Campbell at times. I mean, he wasn't exactly everything we wanted, but I do like the idea of him going to the right side. I think it can work well for him and for us.
For sure, for sure. And the opposite side of that same coin, with on the opposite end of the positivity regarding his position, is the left guard position, as you pointed out. If it's tomorrow, which super close, it's got to be Umarov, or however you say his name. I know he's Russian or not from this side of the planet. It's got to be him. But my concern here is, no matter who it is, because this game is under the lights and the screens are on, our fan base is going to put all of the stock in this, right?
Yeah.
And our coaching staff won't. They're going to tell us, you know, chill out, like, calm down. So my concern there is how well that left guard position performs, depending on who it is, just because it's going to carry itself all the way throughout the rest of the offseason into summer, and then finally fall game one kicking off against the Moccasins of Chattanooga. You mentioned receivers. When is the last time we have had a receiving group this deep? Now, we've had studs. You know, there was a year where Justin Hunter and Dayrick Rogers were on the same field at the same time.
Yep.
We've had guys, you know, Cedric Tillman, Jalen Hyatt. This room is deep.
It's really packed. Deep. Huh?
And
yeah.
If Nico is what, half the hype with this receiving core, and if they can live up to a little bit of their hype as well and their abilities, assuming Brew gets back, and you're talking about Squirrel and Brazel, and apparently Dante Thornton is having a good spring. And I know Tennessee fans don't want to hear that because, you know, put way too many eggs in that basket, and he had one catch and he got hurt. but man, when you think about this receiving room, a lot of excitement. I mean, we can take the top off. We can get physical. We can do the third and twos, the fourth and twos, the fourth and ones. I mean, you can win a lot of games with this receiving core.
Absolutely, you can. And I think it's especially good because just as at the moment, I mean, literally in the game, I think that week when Dante Thornton went down, we were just figuring out, hey, because, you know, we know he's got the speed that we like in the slot, but this guy needs to be on the outside. And just thinking about his big frame on the outside, the potential there, it gets deep inside my soul when I think about explosive plays and what it could mean. So I love the idea of him getting back healthy, being on the outside. Squirrel, you know, obviously they're going to do some release things and he's going to end up on the outside sometimes. But I think the idea of getting him in the slot where he could really cook some, you know, third secondary pieces or some nickels when that's not the strongest position for whoever we're playing on a given week. And then we know what we have in Brew. If he can get back healthy, his progress does seem to be going faster than I think we ever expected with how nasty that injury was. So
yeah,
that's huge. We know what a leader he is. I mean, he's like another receiver coach, I think, out there. He means so much to the fans, the guys on the field, the quarterback. I mean, how physical he is, and I think when he gets back, it's going to be a great thing. And then you think about, we added a Brazel in the portal, who another guy who wants to win games on the field here and then get himself to the league. That's his goals. I've heard him say it. You think about landing a stud like Mike Matthews, and then wait, you got Braylon Staley out of South Carolina, which we only land studs out of South Carolina at receiver. I don't know if you know this.
Fair enough.
You know, he's pushing as well, man. And then you think about like a Nimrod who's made plays before, like, The options are kind of limitless right now, and I just can't wait to see what three or four guys really win the battle, because we know there won't be a ton of subbing there in the heat of a contested game.
Yes. Regarding those drives that I talked about seeing with Nico, I want to see Caleb Webb have, you know, a handful of those balls caught.
Absolutely.
There's just a part of me that wants him to succeed.
Yeah.
You're three with him at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't put it together this year, he's one of two things. He's in the portal, or it's just never going to happen.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's got to be this year. And the only with as deep as this room is, the only thing that bothers me is we tend to do this thing where we just play three.
Yep.
So will that change with how deep this is going forward? Because you want to get Mike Matthews touches, and you're living in a day and age where if dudes don't feel like they're valuable or contributing or making plays – they're in the portal. They're gone.
Absolutely.
So, man, a lot of exciting things thinking about the receiving room. Then you get to the defensive front, which I really wanted to talk about. Might be the best defensive line unit in the country, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I had a friend or an acquaintance just yesterday or the day before. We were messaging. You know, what's the outlook? He's not a fan of Tennessee. He's a Big Ten fan, which we do love him. Asked me the outlook, you know, for the 2024 Vols, just talking a little offense, talking a little defense. And the first thought that kind of came to mind for me is that this defensive line should be, you know, pushing, I think, for a one that featured Derek Barnett. it should be pushing anything that we've really seen on the whole, I think, over the last 10 years, which obviously includes, and now Derek Barnett's getting on the back end of that. This should be a defensive line unit outside the end that should be able to really, really guide a young secondary when you're adding in those pieces out there that we're going to get to in a minute.
Yeah. So, I mean, you make a good point in comparison. I think there's a lot of contrast there. So you mentioned Derek Barnett multiple times, and on the opposite end of Barnett for the most of his time here was Corey Vereen. So you have Barnett who was a freak with a motor, and you had Corey Vereen who had just had a motor. Like there was no quitting these guys.
Yeah,
no plays off. This front's a little different to me because Barnett drew a lot of attention that allowed other guys to free up, and you still have that in a James Pierce, right? Who's going to garner a lot of attention, but you also have a ton of dudes who are going to play, who are going to get the snaps because this is what Garner does, and that room is just deep. And you could go on with name after name after name. And you know what? It might be a different conversation. Well, it will be a different conversation, you know, next season with the loss of, you know, Amari Thomas and Omar Norman Lott. It almost escaped me there for a second. Getting old is hard. But with the way that he has recruited and the development of these guys, like I'm getting to a place where I'm just not concerned about it.
Yeah.
And if these guys can get the playing time, I'm going to feel a whole lot better about 2025. And then you go to the secondary and we lose, I believe, six guys out of the secondary, either to departure, into the draft, or portal. And take that for what you want. You could say positive, negative, whatever, but we've got some transfers coming in. We've got a lot of new names. Anything there in that secondary department that intrigues you?
Yeah, I will be interested to see if what we've been hearing whispers of Jermod McCoy on one side, Ricky Gibson on the other, does that play out? Does it hold up? Because, you know, we're going to have a great competition there with all the receiver bodies that we've talked about. It should be a great competition. Also love the premise, man. I mean, I talked about it earlier with landing someone like Lance Hurd, but Jermod McCoy, I think he was a freshman All-American, if I'm not mistaken. He was at least freshman All-Pac-12, made plays, ball seeker, you know what I mean? He was if the ball was his way, he was making a play. The premise of someone like him coming in as a true sophomore and taking a corner spot, that's not been our luck with transfers. So something like that happens, it helps out, and it speeds up the competition of not only Ricky Gibson, but Christian Conyer, Jordan Matthews, you know, all those guys that have been there, Christian Harrison, wherever he falls, it's going to speed up the competition. It's going to give us a security blanket on one side of the field.
I think
it's a great thing. It should. But yeah, really encouraging. Can't wait to yet again have what we've been hearing. Is it correct? Is that who we see? And then how does it trickle down towards your second and third string guys at that position?
Yeah. I love that point. And I also want you to consider it this way. Jalen McCullough has been at the safety position since
Reagan administration.
Yeah, absolutely. And for what it's worth, not a freak athlete or anything like that, but was never really out of position.
Yep.
And think about the amount of snaps that he played, and now he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me the last time where we've had a situation like that, where we've got a guy that experienced, and this is no diss to Jalen McCullough, at least not in my mind anyway, where you look at it and go, we're going to be okay. Like this is all right, actually, because we got some options here. I mean,
not really. I mean, no, not really. I can't really think of a situation like that. You know, it would be a stretch, but the one that comes to mind is like, yeah, we're losing, Jalen Hurd, we've lost Jalen Hurd. We're losing Alvin Kamara. Oh, wait, we've got John Kelly, but that was such a poor campaign. I can't really even bring my mind to go there. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep.
So it is really encouraging, the number of bodies, the fact that Turrentine's been – I mean, last year, let's face it, he was listed as a starter at one point. It never came to fruition, but we know how much he pushed McCullough.
Right.
So really love the premise, you know, the idea of him breaking through finally. Hopefully he's done nothing but grow, take steps, learn from everyone back there, Willie Martinez, Tim Banks, the whole crew that has a say in that group. It's wild to think about that we might lose someone like that who's been that steady and be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of putting the bow on the secondary, I'd really come Saturday, I would just love to see how these guys play the ball in the air.
Yes.
Can we get our head turned? at the corner position? You know, are we out of position regarding safety? Because I think that's going to be the only, for lack of better words, drop off at the safety position, because Tank was just never out of position.
Never.
He wasn't great at finishing the play or anything like that. You know, he was just good enough, but, you know, can they play the ball in the air? And then finally we get to linebacker. And I remember doing our very first episode and talking about the linebacker position and going, oh my gosh, we don't have the names, we don't have the bodies. And now look at this position. It's a full room with nothing but dudes who have potential, I want to be careful with my words here, of playing at the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is a full room. That has been something we've been lacking and have been kneecapped by for multiple years, because even when it was Henry Toto and Kawaris Crouch, there wasn't much behind them that was pushing them. Obviously, we know and
no,
we
there
think
was nothing. There was nothing behind them. Yeah,
nothing. Aaron Beasley, we think, should have had more time. You can't change my mind on that because of his athleticism. His instinct was really good, but it's like three guys, and it was the same. It was the same number, three guys, when it was Jeremy Banks, Aaron Beasley, Juwan Mitchell. There was not much there at all. And now you talk about the potential of Peely, Herring that I've talked about, Arian Carter, T-Lander. I miss T-Lander, and I think he's going to have a huge career. I mean, he's got a motor and instincts that look different from what we've had as well.
Yeah.
So exciting to enter a year with a full campaign, with athleticism, with veteran knowledge like Peely, who could be another coach on the field. I've already said that about another position, maybe receiver.
I mean, because he is 35 years old.
He is. Again, Reagan administration, you know, that was his president. But really exciting. I mean, it's just been an area that we've not been in, sadly.
And you didn't even mention the newcomers and guys like Spielman. So,
yeah.
It's a loaded room. So there's just all across the board, man, there's just a lot to be excited about. And I think a lot of the excitement is generated or birthed out of the fact that it's just been so bad for so long. And now the consistency of a positive culture and winning games and what that has done to rooms like the linebacker room. So super excited there. I would love to see these guys come Saturday. Can we still run fit really well? You know, I think that was one of the best things that we did 22-23.
Yeah.
Jeremy Banks, and even after Banks, it was just run fit really well. Is that something that we continue? Now, that's also a relationship the linebackers have with the defensive front, but is that something that we can still continue to do really, really well? Because I believe that not only won us some games, but kept us in others. And so I want to see that sustained big time.
Yeah. And all of those things, this is one kind of last thought for me overall. We're a long way out, but all of these things that we're talking about, athleticism, the veterans up front, especially defensively, it should really help us, I think, help our secondary big time. It shouldn't be secondaries giving up 250 per game on average. Yeah, they're still going to see a lot of plays, but they're going to have more help in front of them than we've had under Hopple. Like, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
Stronger, faster, much more depth up front, full linebacker room, just factors that the defensive backfield has not had. So I think that's a huge help going into the season.
Yes, yes. I want to end with this thought. One last thing that I think that I would like to see, and that's a quarterback push behind Nico. When Merklinger gets snaps, are they really good snaps? And I know this is going to sound like a stretch because of all the buzz surrounding Nico, but can he push Nico? Can he make Nico uncomfortable with how well he performs?
Absolutely.
Can, when it's over, can Tennessee fans look and say, okay, if Nico gets hurt, all is not lost. You know, Merklinger was highly recruited coming out of high school. So I don't expect him to be anything special, but I would just love to see him at his best and stack completions on top of one another, putting drives together, whatnot, putting receivers in a position to make plays. You know, if they get into a look that they don't like, can he check them out of it? Stuff like that. I think that would go a long, long way. Well, with 90 seconds left, any other thoughts there, my man?
One other position. I know we talked about literally all of them. Tight end order. That's the one other one I want to see. I think Holden Stays is the type of guy to prevent Ethan Davis from really taking over that room. Obviously, he's still a smaller guy, but can't wait to see the combination of them. It's like we've kind of got Princeton Fant and, you know, Jacob Warren kind of in multiple bodies there. It's not just two guys. Obviously, the Bama transfer's in there as well. Can't wait to see how they play out as well. Can they block and make plays in the pass game?
Yeah, and the Bama transfer has gotten a lot of buzz, for lack of better words. Had a really
more than we expected, I think.
Yeah, so he's making a push to get some snaps. And a lot like that halfback position, 1A, 1B, we know for a fact that the tight end position is 1A, 1B. And it really comes down to, can a guy be a hybrid? Can he block, do both? A lot of our offense revolves around this tight end position. So. Hey, man, that's it for us. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. I hope you're excited about the orange and white game coming Saturday in Neyland Stadium. We will not be there. We'll be watching from the comfort of our homes. We hope you have a great weekend. We love you guys. God bless. Go Vols.
GBO.
Pandemonium reigns.